To the book of Exodus chapter 33, Exodus chapter 33, verse number 18. I won't keep you long in the word today. It's not my intention to keep you long. Amen. Let me just say that. Amen. But I just feel like sharing this word with you today. The Lord's laid it on my heart. We've been in these scriptures before in our traveling and in our preaching, and the Lord has just prompted us to bring it to you this morning. Amen. Exodus chapter 33, verse number 18, and when you found that, please stand for the reading of God's word. Exodus chapter 33, verse 18, very familiar scripture today, very familiar story. And the Bible reads, and he said, I beseech thee, show me thy glory. Anybody want to see the glory today?
Yes, sir. Hallelujah.
He said, I will make all my goodness to pass before thee, and I will proclaim the name of the Lord before thee, and I will be gracious to whom I will be gracious, and I will show mercy to whom I will show mercy.
Amen.
He said, thou canst not see my face. There shall no man see me and live. And the Lord said, behold, there is a place by me, and thou shalt stand upon a rock. And it shall come to pass, while my glory passes by, that I will put thee in the cliff of the rock, and will cover thee with my hand while I pass by. And I will take away my hand, and thou shalt see my back parts, but my face shall not be seen. Let us, amen, give the Lord praise as they bless the shofar this morning. Amen. Come on, let's just shake this place. Give our praise to God. That is in this atmosphere. Your glory that is here. Hallelujah. Lord, we thank you for your presence and your power. We thank you in Jesus' name. Hallelujah. Thank you, Jesus. Amen. Amen. You may be seated. Look at your neighbor and say, neighbor, whatever you do, just go after the glory. I want to preach today on the topic, go after the glory. When God decides that he's going to appoint a season in our life, it is something that is, amen, concrete. It's something that will happen. There is nothing the enemy can do to reverse it or change it. And even though some seasons that we walk through, even maybe the season that we're in now, as we ministered a little bit Thursday night, amen, corporate. And amen, individually, we may not understand all of why we're in the season that we're in. But I've come to give you good news today that in this season, that there is a people that are hungry for more. There is a people that says, I need more than just an emotional high. I need more than just feeling good once in a while. I need more than just a few good songs and a motivational speech. But I need to see God for all that he is. And I need to get to the place where I just don't feel the Lord, but I begin to see the Lord. Because my feelings can be deceptive, because sometimes I don't feel it, but I can still see it. Sometimes I don't hear it, but I can still see it. Sometimes it may not look like it's going to happen, but I can rest assured that God is on the throne. Amen. So the Bible says in Matthew 5 and 6 that those that hunger and thirst after righteousness shall be filled. We talked a little bit, amen, Thursday, that I believe that there's purpose and the reasoning for what God is doing, and that God is just preparing us as a church to move into the next dimension. Well, I believe that personally as well. Because we have cried out to God and said there's got to be more than what we've ever had before. There's got to be more than just feelings. There's got to be more than just emotions. God is saying, okay, you want to see me? I'm about to show you who I am. I'm about to give you a revelation of my glory. You may have to go through some things. You may have to face some difficulty. You may have to go through some bumpy roads. But he that endures to the end, the same shall be saved. And what you've got to understand is that the hunger of individuals, and I'm not talking about other churches, I'm talking to my family this morning, if that's all right. But the hunger of the individuals here at Judah Tabernacle is we're hungry for more. And because we're hungry for more, we are willing to do whatever it takes to get there. We are that desperate for the presence of God. We are that desperate for the glory of God. Just a pat on the back won't do it anymore. But we need to see God for who He is. The Bible says that this glory was available in the very beginning. Genesis chapter 1, Genesis chapter 3 also gives us a revelation of the glory of God. Ezekiel chapter 8 and Isaiah chapter 14 gives us a glimpse of who Lucifer was before he became Satan. We find that he knew what it was like to be in the glory of the Lord. He was the guardian of the light and the glory of God in the throne. He knows what the power of God can do. He knows what the presence of God can do. He knows that just one moment in God's glory can change it for a lifetime. He was removed from God's glory, and because he was removed from God's glory, his desire is to keep you out of God's glory. Isn't it something when you make up your mind that you're going to get closer to God? Isn't it something when you make up your mind that you're going to get into the glory of God? All kinds of stuff break out. Can anybody testify? You tell yourself, I'm going to get in the presence of God. I'm going to get in the glory of God. I'm going to fast a little bit longer. I'm going to pray a little bit longer. I'm going to make sure that I'm in the house of God every time that I can. I'm going to push myself. And isn't it something that all of a sudden on Sunday mornings, everything comes out of the woodwork to try to get you from getting here, and things begin to break out all around you and distractions to keep you from getting in your prayer closet. You know why? Because the enemy knows what the presence of God can do. But if you make up your mind, whatever I've got to go through, I've got to get in His presence. No doubt some of us this morning, amen, probably didn't feel like getting out of bed when our alarm went off. No doubt some of us probably tired. No doubt some of us have been busy. But when that alarm went off this morning, I told myself, I said, self, you got to get out of bed. Amen. Because there's something in the house of the Lord for you today. That's why David said, I was glad when they said unto me, let us go into the house of the Lord. Because he's about to do something that's greater than my feeling. He's about to do something that's greater than my emotion. He's about to do something that's greater than, amen, what I'm temporarily going through. So the glory of God is available, and the enemy does not want us in it. There are two types of glory in Scripture. There's the Hebrew word kabod or kabod. This is the weight or the heaviness of the glory of God. This is the glory that you can feel. This is the glory that came into the room when we sang, and I'll dance in your presence, and I'll sing hallelujah. And that glory of God began to fill the house. But then there's a second type of glory, and that's the Shekinah glory. While the kabod or the kabod is the glory that you feel, the Shekinah is the glory that you see. You see, it becomes a dwelling or a settling place. It's a special sense of divine presence. So it goes beyond what you just feel, and then you start seeing God. Well, does that make a difference? Well, yes, it does, because the Bible says in Isaiah chapter 6 that when the king Uzziah died, I saw also the Lord high and lifted up, and his train filled the temple. Sister Mary Jo was, amen, teaching about the prophet Isaiah this morning. And the Bible said that the prophet Isaiah went into the funeral service to pay homage, amen, and honor to King Uzziah. But he walked in a common man, but when he seen the Shekinah of God, he encountered God in a way that he had never encountered him before. The Bible said that the seraphim took, amen, the coals of fire from off the altar, and they laid it on Isaiah's lips. He said, I am a man of unclean lips, and I dwell among a people that are unclean. And God said, don't say that anymore, Isaiah. You know why? Because when God placed those coals of fire on his lips, God anointed him to be a prophet, to the nation of Israel. I want to tell you, one moment in the presence of God, one moment in the glory of God, took a common man and made him a prophet. Just one moment in the glory of God changed Isaiah's identification. It changed Isaiah's destiny. What can happen when we can just get one moment in God's glory, one moment in his presence, and see him for who he is? 2 Chronicles chapter 7. Solomon built God a house first. That'll preach. Seek ye first the kingdom of God and his righteousness, then all these other things will be added to you. After Solomon built God a house, the Bible said that he stood to dedicate the temple. And when he made an end of praying, the Bible said that the Shekinah of God filled the atmosphere. The pillars began to shake. Smoke began to arise. The cloud came into the room. The fire was present. And it was so thick that the Levitical priests could not even minister at their post because of the glory of God. I long for the day that we come to the house of God and we see the Shekinah so great that we're not even able to stand on our own two feet. I long for the day that the glory of God is so strong that it gets us right in the parking lot, that people are healed of cancer, not when they walk into this building, but when they're even getting out of their car, that diabetes is taken care of, blood pressure comes back into regulation because of the glory of God.
Amen.
Amen. Uh-huh. Is there a people that says, I'm hungry for such a glory?
Amen.
Amen. God deemed, hang with me, I'm not going to keep you very long, but God deemed that the relationship he was going to have with Moses was going to be different than anybody else. God told Moses in the 6th chapter of Exodus, he said, I am the Lord. I appeared unto Abraham, Isaac, and Jacob by the name of El Shaddai, Almighty. But by my name, Jehovah, was I not known to them. God was telling him that he was going to reveal himself to Moses more in a personal way that had never been done before. I'm going to show you attributes that I have kept concealed and hidden. I'm going to show you things and mysteries, amen, that I've not revealed to anybody else. I was only El Shaddai to Abraham, Isaac, and Jacob. But I want to be Jehovah to you. Jehovah is an intimate term. Jehovah is a term, amen, that is used for intimacy. It's the intimate name of God. God said, I'm going to show you an intimate side of me that I have kept secret and hid. Can I tell you that there is a place that God has prepared for the remnant in this hour to reveal himself in a way that we have not seen before? Is there anybody in that remnant today?
Yeah.
So to get to where I'm going, out of all of the Old Testament men of God, surely Moses is one that can say, I have seen God for who he is. We're talking about Moses, who saw a burning bush in a Midian desert on the backside, and the bush began to talk to him. Moses, who saw a rod become a serpent and the serpent become a rod. Moses, who saw manna rain down from heaven. Moses, who saw the cloud by day and the fire by night. Moses, who saw the plagues come over Egypt and God's people were delivered. Moses, who stretched his rod over a body of water and that body of water began to separate and become a highway for the people of God to cross over. Moses, who received 613 laws on the top of the mountain. Amen. And saw God face to face in his glory when it come. Amen. Saw God take his, amen, finger and begin to engrave on those tablets of stone. And then later going up there again and God having Moses chill it and do all of that in the 19th and 20th chapter. But all of a sudden, Moses is asking something that makes no sense. It puzzled me. It baffles me. You mean to tell me that all that you've seen, there's got to be more? Oh, you're quiet today, and I love it. You mean there's got to be more? I've done seen all of this, but yet I still desire more? We've already seen the glory of God in this house. We've already seen God move. We've seen God heal. We've seen God deliver. We've seen God do all kinds of things here at Judah Tabernacle. But you mean to tell me there's some people that says there's got to be more? I'm hungry for more. I'm thirsty for more. So I'm wondering this morning if there's any Moseses in the house that says, whatever I do, I just got to go after the glory. I need the glory more than I need position. I need the glory more than I need a title in the kingdom. I need the glory more than I need a pat on the back. I need the glory more than I need affirmation from a man or a woman. I need the glory more than I need anything else. It's in His presence that I move and breathe and have my being. I'm not hungry, amen, for just mediocre. I'm hungry for all that God has to offer me. And whatever I do, I've got to go after the glory. If it means I've got to go through some bumpy roads, let me keep on going, because I'm going after the glory. If it means that, amen, people start out with me but then decide it's too rough and they back away, it's not going to, amen, derail me, but I'm going to keep on going after the glory. If it means that I've got to face some struggle in my physical body, I'm going to keep on pressing, even though it hurts, because I'm going after the glory. Because one glimpse of His glory is going to be worth everything that I had to go through, everything that you had to go through. It's uncomfortable now. I thank God for people who listen to the Lord. But it's uncomfortable now. It's uncomfortable now. Nobody, amen, wants to be in the place that we're in right now. It's uncomfortable to speak words like deficit and cancellation of camp meeting. It's uncomfortable, amen, even though I'm thankful for it and I'm thankful for their obedience. But it's uncomfortable, amen, to display envelopes because we know we're in a financial crunch. It's an uncomfortable place. But if that's what we are deemed to go through so we can have a greater glory, to God be the praise for it. Because if God's seen us before, God's going to see us through again. This is my opinion and philosophy. This ain't scripture. And this ain't gospel. This is not necessary. But obviously heaven has something mighty ordained for camp meeting this year, or the enemy wouldn't try to cancel it. I got it out of your right and come on and not four claps. Amen. But it's the truth. And here's what I'm saying. If it means that I'm going to have to I'm just going to give a plug. Is that all right? I'm going to not like this. But if it means that I'm going to have to scale back and sacrifice a few things, amen, to make sure that I sow into camp meeting, when the glory of God shows up in this on this property, the second week of September, and my loved ones and your loved ones make their way to the altar, it's going to be worth everything we have to do. We're going after the glory. Woo! Hallelujah. So with that said, I'm not going to focus on that anymore, but focus on what God is able to do. Amen? It's worth the glory. Here's what I love. God said, let's make a deal. Yeah. God said, let's make a deal. He said, Moses, you want to see me? Okay. I'll have mercy on whom I'll have mercy. Aren't you thankful?
Absolutely.
And I'll show grace on who I'm going to show grace. Moses, here's the thing. By me, there's a place. He that dwells in the secret place of the Most High. Sister April, here's what I found. Heaven's already secured the place. We just got to get into it. Heaven's already ordained a place for us to stand so the glory can be revealed. Sister
Sister Mary Jo, we just got to make sure we get in the place at the right time, in the right moment. This is where we are right now to the tabernacle. This is where we are. God has prepared a place in the spirit for us. We know that. It's been prophesied. We've declared it. God has promised us ample facilities to do all that we need to do in ministry. It's been prophesied. But spiritually, there's a place that he said we were going to go. We've done what we needed to do to be there. Now it seems like nothing's happening. Now it seems like everything's concealed. I never thought of it this way. When Moses hid himself, Sister Joanne, in that rock, and God's mighty hand was over there. I wonder if it was dark. I wonder if Moses sat there and said, okay, God, in anticipation, you said that I would see your hinder parts. I'm not seeing it yet. Any time now. I've prayed, I've believed, we've prophesied, we've declared. Any time now. Maybe it was dark. Maybe Moses had to wait, but they that wait upon the Lord shall renew their strength.
Yes. Hallelujah.
I never thought about that until the Holy Ghost just dropped it in my spirit. That's where we are right now.
Yep.
Things seem a little dark right now, Judah.
Yep.
Things seem a little concealed right now. What God has spoken, what God has said, amen, in our own mind seems afar off. When we look and see these kind of things, when we look and see how much it takes to bring camp meeting this year, and we think to ourselves, how is it going to happen? How is this going to be? But I'm here to tell you and declare that I believe God's getting ready to remove his hand. Hallelujah. And what's been concealed is getting ready to be revealed in this house. Oh, I feel like shouting, because there's some people that's in place, and it's been dark, and it's been lonely, and it's been rough, and it's been hard. But I'm here to tell you through the Holy Ghost, God's getting ready to remove his hand. Anybody want to declare it over your life? When he removes his hand, guess what? The glory's coming by. I said the glory's coming by. Can anybody stand for the glory to pass by your way today? Can anybody stand for the glory to pass by your family? Pass by your health? Pass over your finances? Pass me not, O gentle Savior. Hear my humble cry. While are others thou art calling? Please do not pass me by. I've been in waiting, but be not weary in well doing. Amen. For in due season you're going to reap if you faint not. I've been in waiting. I've been waiting on God. I've been trusting God. I've been asking God. I've been fasting. You've been waiting, trusting and fasting. I've got good news to bring on a Sunday morning. Now a Sunday afternoon, God's getting ready to reveal his hand. And Judah Tabernacle is getting ready to step out on that place in the cave. And the glory of God is getting ready. Moses saw half of God. Just half of God. And the glory of the Lord caused a physical change to his appearance. If Moses got that with just half of God, what would happen if Judah seen all of God? Let me say that again. If Moses got that kind of revelation with just half of God, what would happen if Judah Tabernacle saw all of God? In a society that would rather send text messages than call on the phone. We talked about that this morning. And heaven help us if you asked us to remember phone numbers now. Because if our phones go down, we're in trouble. But sometimes with text messages, you don't get the mood. They can kind of be misunderstood.
And sometimes you don't get, amen, the reasoning behind. Sometimes you may take it the wrong way when it comes to text message or instant messaging through Facebook. Can I get an amen?
Amen.
Guilty, been there, done that.
Amen.
We all have.
Yeah.
But the next best thing we think is to call somebody on the phone. And that's good. But nothing replaces a good face-to-face conversation.
Right. Right. Amen.
When you get to the point in a relationship with somebody and you love them, or you want to get close to them, especially your spouse, you get to the point where you just don't want to talk on the phone.
Yep.
Mm-hmm. I remember, amen, now it's been over 20 years ago, but I remember when I was courting my wife, if we still use the term court. Connor can explain that tonight at Pulse, what courting means. But I remember Trish and I was 15 years old when Trish and I first came in contact. We met in church. Our first encounter was at McDonald's after church. And I put my foot in my mouth. Imagine that. But she's still stuck with me. Amen. But it got to the point that so we exchanged numbers. We start talking on the phone. Texting wasn't big right then, but we start talking on the phone. Well, then it got to the point where I'm like, this just don't do it anymore. And she got a Beretta. Black and red, and she was, and the muffler was messed up on it. I lived in on Obetz, lived with my parents still, and she would pull up, and our first dates were at Walmart. Yeah, Walmart, because it got to the, and I have a point to prove, because it got to the point where I, Sister Jessica, I no longer wanted to just talk to her on the phone, but I wanted to see her face. Because to see her face, I begin to see her attributes.
Yeah.
And I learned more about her when I was talking face to face with her than I did when I was on the phone with her. And now I can read her face. Angie Kirk was part of that. Amen. Her and I coming together. Oh, you're all right. No, I'm a blessed man. Amen. But it got to, amen, the point where I wanted to see her face, and then it got to the point where I learned about her. And I say that to say this, that we're at the point now where text messaging with God just doesn't do it anymore. I don't want to just send the Holy Ghost an instant message in our terminology. But Sister Lori, I'm at a place where I don't even want to just call on Jesus. I want to see Jesus. Because to see Jesus is to see his facial expression, to see his attributes, amen, to learn about who he is. You ever heard the saying, my mouth not say it, but my face sure does? Amen. A lot of us, amen, need help in that area, me included. But to see Jesus' face is to know what he's thinking. I want to see his face. And you say, well, no man has ever seen the face of God and lived. Well, let us die trying. And what if we see his face? Well, if the absent from the body is to be present with the Lord. If I see his face and he translates me out of here, it's going to be all right. But I'm looking for somebody today that says, whatever I do, I need to go after the Lord. I need the glory of God in my life more than anything. Judah, let me tell you, whatever you do, just long for his glory. Just long for his glory. I think prepared to come to the music. I told you I wouldn't keep you long today.
You're just getting good.
Amen. I just feel the release of the Lord to move on. But I'm telling you today, go after his glory. God's got Judah hidden right now, it may seem, but he's getting ready to remove his hand. We're getting ready to see him reveal. Amen?
Amen.
Praise the Lord. Do you love the Lord today?
Amen.
Come on. Do you love him? Do you love each other today? Yes. Yes. Amen. Whatever we need to go after the glory. Amen. I could have preached longer, but I just feel like today God's presence, his glory, is in this atmosphere. to meet needs and hearts today. What do you need from the Lord today? What are you asking God to do as you stand with your feet all over this house? What is it? Who is it you need God to touch? Who is it you need God to minister to? If you're in this house today, as Sister Karen sang the song, "Come Lord Jesus," what if he did come today? What if this was our last service? What if this was our last moment? Are we ready? First and foremost, you're the main reason why we're here today. You're the reason why we worship. You're the reason why we sing. You're the reason why we pray. So if you say to me today, "Brother Matt, my life is messed up. I need the Lord to touch me." If you're not right with the Lord, this altar is open for you. Second, if you're watching and you say right where you are, and you're watching, you say, "I need the Lord to minister in my life today." Right where you are, you can call out to the Lord. He can answer. But if you say to me, I need the glory of God in my life, whatever I do, I need the glory. I'm going to press into the glory and the presence of the Lord. If that's you, you want to make a bold statement, I just want you to step out of your seat and come to this altar with your hands raised and say, "That's my main desire. I need the glory."